It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see the change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Help us to know who we are. It's the change. Then nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
Today. In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
What happened to the power of God, like all his shoes astray? A great awakening. All God's glory on display. A great awakening. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Help us to know who we are today. And nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now, yeah. Let nothing stand between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. We need to see a change.
Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Welcome to BPN Radio. Another day to seek God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Today, just for a short time, I'm your host. My name is Michael Schomborn, and I'm the producer for BPN Radio, just filling in for Dale on this Saturday, but only for the first 20 minutes. Then I'll hand over to Dale, and there's going to be an interview with Roy Beard, talking about the state of the nation and the current news, which is coming in from all over the world. So, stay tuned. So it's going to be really interesting. So that's going to be in about 20-25 minutes time. I want to start today with a quote from a man who lived 300 years ago. He died in 1791. And this man was sold out to God, and he worked in a time where the nation of England became increasingly godless and distant from God. And the fabric of society changed that much that people feared that England would be plagued by a revolution, as it happened in France in 1789. And this man was a man who turned the hearts of the sons back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to their sons, and who changed the nation for good for the next 200-300 years, for sure. Why is this man so important? It I've never really had anything to do with this religious group, and when I mention the name, many of you will recognize who I'm talking about. But before I do this, I just want to give you a quote he said. But many, many years ago, I went to London, and I went to the house, which is still there today, where he lived for quite some time. And when I think back about it, the only place which struck me in the house was his study. And I saw, sort of when I let my memory go over this time, I saw just like a little pulpit where you could kneel on. And you could see that it was well used, and there were little scratches and things like all over. And bearing in mind, I'm not sure whether that's the original, I assume it is, that it was 300 years old by the time I've seen it, or over 300 years old. And what struck me about 200, 250 years old, what struck me about this pulpit was that this is the very place where this man met his creator, where this man spent time with his God. And it's quite interesting as well. I've seen all the rest of the house, and they had like a little exhibition next to it, and they, you know, had the history of this particular religious group, and they you know, started differentiating between, you know, the primitive form of this group and then the modern form. And I found it actually quite confusing, and I thought, I was just a young Christian when I saw all this. But one thing which stuck with me, that there was a man, and I knew that man, that he had changed the nation. He had changed the nation for good. And he stopped England from a very violent revolution, which was on the cards. And he stopped it. He stopped this revolution. Not him, but God through him, and through people repenting, and in masses, you know, turning to God, he changed the nation. Living in the north of England and sort of going around, you see chapels which were, you know, one or two generations after he died, which were built in those days, and you see them all over the place. And the sad thing is today that many of these chapels are sold up and they turn into carpet warehouses and other things. But when you look at the foundation stones, you can see that rich people, you know, spend a lot of money to have these buildings built. And they united together with the poor people, and they were both seeking God. And it is very, very amazing. Okay, let me go to the quote. And it's all about, you know, the one thing I've seen in his house, which is still there today. And if you come to London, you can visit it. And I've seen this little prayer chamber where this man by the name of John, where he spent a lot of his time meeting his Maker. Okay, let's go to the quote. And he said, "Thanksgiving is inseparable from true prayer. It is almost essentially connected with it. One who always prays is ever giving praise, whether in ease or pain, both for prosperity and for the greatest adversity. He blesses God for all things, looks on them as coming from Him, and He receives them for His sake, not choosing or refusing, liking or disliking anything, but only as it is agreeable or disagreeable to His perfect will." Okay, that's a lot of thought and that's a lot of wisdom in this verse. I'm going to repeat it one more time. And I just want you to listen very carefully, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about this man, and we'll move on with our radio program. Okay, thanksgiving is inseparable from true prayer. It is almost essentially connected with it. One who always prays is ever giving praise, whether in ease or pain, both for prosperity and for the greatest adversity. He blesses God for all things, looks on them as coming from Him, and receives them for His sake, not choosing nor refusing, liking or disliking anything, but only as it is agreeable or disagreeable to His perfect will. Now, this man, and you may have guessed it, this man is John Wesley. And when you study a little bit about his life, it's a remarkable story of a man who was sold out for God. I don't agree with all of his theology, to make the point here, but then who am I? And who is John Wesley? But I deeply respect him. And he's a great example for me, for surrendering to God and giving everything to God. And he makes the point that even in pain, or when things are going well, or in prosperity, or in great adversity. And when you study this period in England, there were many people who were in very great adversity, and the abject poverty people thought was going to generate a revolution, a very violent revolution, which would bring down the aristocracy and change England forever. But what this man did is he encouraged rich people to give to the poor. Not because they had to or they were afraid of a revolution, but because they loved God. And he encouraged the poor people to do well and to do good. And society changed. The Industrial Revolution, some of the sting of the Industrial Revolution was taken out because of men like John Wesley. Okay, he talks a lot about, or he talks in his quote about Thanksgiving, it's inseparable from true prayer. And it doesn't matter whether things go well or things go bad, that's essentially what he's saying here. And that whether it's agreeable or it's disagreeable, but everything is done to God's perfect will. Okay, and at this point, and I want to sort of, on this day, encourage you to look at Thanksgiving. And also, I want to turn it around a bit. Here at BPN Radio, I want to do a little bit of Thanksgiving as well to God, and also to you, the listener. And let me go through a few points, and then we'll move on to Dale and Roy Beard in a moment. If you've got time in a moment, I'll go through the statistics and I'll tell you some amazing data from the last month, what we have seen here at BPN Radio. And we know that it's only possible because of people like yourself, our listeners, who pray for us. And that's the reason for us to thank you, that you pray for us as well here at BPN Radio, to make all this possible. And many of you have supported BPN Radio financially, and again, it's time to say thank you. So thank you, all our listeners who, have sacrificed to help us get the Word of God out and to encourage people to pray and, to encourage them to go into this direction where John Wesley, dedicated his whole life, that he spent a lot of time on his knees just seeking God and worshiping God for his nation. And that's what BPN Radio is all about. It's encouraging people to step into the footsteps of people like John Wesley, to intercede for this nation, to repent on behalf of this nation, to seek God's favor for America, that true prosperity, which is not money, but it's relationship with God, the true prosperity expressed in relationship with God, where people are keen to build mansions in heaven rather than mansions here on earth, that this spirit will come over the nation, and that people will not care about what they have or what they don't have, but that they will care about God being in their lives. And again, saying thanks to all our contributors to BPN Radio. There are a lot of people, and we are looking at several dozens now, who took time out to talk to Dale on BPN Radio in interviews, and who were taking time out of their busy schedule to share the things God has placed on their hearts, making sometimes very interesting programming. So thank you for you guys out there who have taken time out to, share what's on your heart with the listeners here on BPN Radio. And we've got prayer centers up and down the country. People who have agreed to, you know, once a week get prayer requests, which come in here at BPN Radio. And we believe that God listens to prayer, and we don't just believe, we know that God answers prayer and that God responds to prayer, and that things change through prayer in this nation, but also in a micro level, you know, in individuals, in people's lives, individuals who are going through a tough time, that, you know, that the gravity of the pain they're going through is taken away, and that they find support because people are praying for them. And there are prayer centers up and down the country, and prayer leaders who share the needs, you know, which are expressed here on BPN Radio, which come into BPN Radio with you know, people around them and who pray for issues. Thank you. Thank you, all prayer centers, and thank you, all prayer leaders, for doing this and for having shared this burden, you know, with the listeners of BPN Radio and with us at BPN Radio as well. And next, thank you to all the people who have written in for prayers, and also to those who are telling us that their prayers have been answered. So thank you, you know, for your support in sharing your burden with us, and in allowing us to serve you a little bit, and to bring your request before God. And then also thank you to all of you guys who have come to BPN events. Yeah. There were a few events which took place, and there are more to come. And sometimes some people have been coming from all over the country. You know, it's not just you know, down the road or something, but you know, you guys, you came out and you booked hotels and, you know, spent some money to try and be with us. And again, thank you for that, and for taking this time out and supporting us in these events. And again, you know, as we come together and we see God as a community of Christians, you know, who pray for the issues of this nation and for individuals who are going through tough times, things do change. And we see this all the time. And also, thank you. I counted about 8 people who are working in the background for BPN Radio regularly, sometimes on a daily basis. And I want to say thank you to all 8 people for taking time out and for sharing and making this work possible here at BPN Radio. And now some requests to you. Don't just listen to BPN Radio, but do get involved. Yeah, I mean, if you can. Listening is good. Getting involved is better. It's a little bit better. And if you're not already doing it, just pray with us. You know, sometimes you can hear on BPN Radio requests for individuals. Just maybe after you've heard the program, and just open up your heart. And if God places something on your heart, go with it. And you know, repeat those requests and bring them before the throne of God. And the next request is, if you're battling with issues in your life, don't do it alone, but let us share your burden and bringing it before God. So take some time out, you know, go to the webpage. It only takes a minute, you know, just let us know what you're struggling with or what your issue is. You can do this anonymously. Mention your name as well. That's up to you. God knows who you are, and as we move it before God, He knows exactly what is happening and what's going on. And just do this, you know. Let us help you, and let us share your burden. And the next request to you is, pray for this project and ask God to help all of us who are involved in BPN Radio here to serve, that He will help us and guide us and, you know, lead us in a way to serve you, you know, the best way we can. And then another point as well is, we need your encouragement. And sometimes just a quick email of appreciation. Maybe you heard an interview which really stuck with you, and you know, really resonated with you somehow, or something really spoke to you, maybe some music or some track. All it takes you is just, you can use the contact forms, maybe for prayer requests or something else, and just tell us, you know, that something really spoke to you and that something really resonated with you. And literally, it's just a couple of seconds to do it. We promise we're not going to bombard you with emails, or you don't even need to give your email to us. You can just write your name, you know, go to the prayer request form, which you can find at bpnradio.com, you know, put your name in, and, you know, you can tell us, you know, if anything really resonated with you, really spoke to you. And that's so important for us. It makes all the difference. It makes it all worthwhile, you know, doing this every day. And then also let other people know about BPN Radio. So if you think BPN Radio is good, you know, if you think the whole idea of praying for the nation or a radio station just about prayer is good, so tell others about us. And in the end, what we are aiming for here at BPN is that there's a ferocious force in America to fiercely pray for God's protection upon America, and I'm in England, upon England as well, maybe a little bit, and Europe as well. And I tell you, Europe needs it very, very much. The state of Europe is getting worse by the year. So we need your prayers as well. But pray for the nation. Join us in fiercely praying for our nations. That's what the Bible tells us what we should do. And we have got a few minutes left, and then we need to move on to the interview. Let's have a look at some of the statistics. And if you support the radio station, it may be of interest to you. In the month of April, we have had 86,000 listener minutes on BPN Radio. We had people from 53 countries, different countries listening. Most people were from the USA, then we had the UK, and third in the row, it's really interesting, is actually a country from the Arabic Peninsula, which is Oman, of all places. Then we had other countries as well, like Canada, Australia, Korea, Czech Republic, Germany, Belgium, Turkey as well. I think that's space number 10 in our chart list of countries who were listening to BPN Radio. And then other interesting countries who are further down the row are Japan, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar. So BPN Radio is certainly getting out, and it's quite exciting to see where the radio station is being heard. And that's obviously down to your support, your prayer, and your input as well. So thank you very much. I'm going to hand over to Dale and Roy Beard. So stay tuned here at BPN Radio. Thanks for listening, and thanks for spending this time with me here on BPN Radio.
Well, it's good to have here on BPN Radio today a man that's been my friend for a long time, many years, Roy Beard. And Roy has been on before and always has something to say. And Roy has served in Christian ministry for 45 years, serving as lead pastor for 25 of those years. He's traveled nationally, internationally for ministry. He received his educational training at Southwestern Assemblies of God University, studying theology, Tyler Junior College and University of Texas at Tyler, studying history and psychology. He's a Vietnam veteran and a proud patriot, always honoring the United States military. He's been blessed with three children, and he grew up in East Texas on a small county farm. Roy has published three books, and he has two blogs that he writes, which I read, and it's very interesting. I believe that Roy Beard is probably one of the most prolific writers I have ever known. So he's a committed Christian, husband, father, and patriot, who writes and speaks extensively on faith, family, and freedom. So, Roy, it's good to have you on BPN today.
Good to be with you.
And I really enjoy your blogs. And, of course, before you get off the air today, I'm going to have you to share with the people how they can read your blogs, which are very, very interesting. You're a terrific writer, and I'm so delighted to have you on again. And we've not really talked about what we're going to talk about today, except that, you know, I would like to pray for current events. I had Rodney Howard Brown was on yesterday, and he was talking about where we're at in America, where he felt like we were at. And you know, I believe these are crucial days in our nation. And I know that you have a lot of insight. You've done extensive research, and your eyes and ears are open, both natural and spiritual. So talk about where we're at today. Don't hold anything back. Where's America at as we enter these summer months?
Well, we are at a, I wouldn't say a crossroads, although that's what came to mind, but where I see us is in a, it's a place of decision. I think nationally and internationally and individually, we're at a place of decision that we, as believers, have to determine what is our relationship with God and what is our freedom worth. Because I see two winds blowing, one's foul with Islamic jihadism and the political destroying of our Constitution here in America. I see things taking place with the attacks on Christians, especially Christians and Jews. And then at the same time, I see a wind of the Spirit of God blowing, and they're going to blow at the same time. They're going to blow simultaneously, and one is going to bring restoration, renewal, and revival and regeneration in a way that we've not seen before. This is going to be that last day's harvest. Mm-hmm. And the other is going to bring such devastation and destruction that it won't matter if the Antichrist has actually controls the entire world or not. It's going to touch the world. Mm-hmm. What's going on is touching the world.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is to me, Dale, is that we have a man occupying the White House that would stand before the Coast Guard cadets and tell them that the greatest threat to our national security is man-made climate change.
Mm-hmm.
When we've got what's going on in the Middle East and around the world, and ISIS now saying, we have enough money to buy a nuke from Pakistan or someone else, and within 10 to 12 months, we can have it in the U.S. and carry out an attack. And a supposed rise in the sea levels because of fictional melting of icebergs is the greatest threat we have?
Yeah.
Oh, how? How can that be the greatest threat? We have a mentality. In fact, I sat and watched something the other day, and I do not watch a lot of the various news things. I'll read extensively, but watching them sometimes seems to almost taint my spirit to the point that I say, I can't take this anymore. I can't listen to what these people are saying.
Right.
And I heard one man saying, well, it's over there. There are a bunch of 20-year-olds. How can they hurt us? And I thought, you must be kidding me. Surely mm-hmm. you didn't just say that.
Yeah.
But another sad thing to me is that one of the problems, is making the problem worse, I believe, and tainting the minds of individuals, many that are sitting in our churches on a weekly basis and participating and love God. Truly, they love the Lord, but when some of the pastors in some of our largest churches are preaching a gospel that has become so politically correct, mm-hmm. so absolutely foreign to the truth of Scripture, eliminated judgment virtually from all of their message and preaching to where that a loving God won't send anybody to hell.
Right.
And that, it, you know, sexual preference, that's between an individual and God, and God's going to deal with that. But to pass a law that tells us we have to, as a minister, that I have to perform a ceremony for a same-sex couple when it violates everything I believe, no, you'll have to put me in jail. I can't do that. I will not do that. I will not violate my conviction. I feel like the apostles, as they stood before the Sanhedrin, and they said, you can't preach anymore in this name, and they said, who do we obey? You are God. And I think that's where we are nationally. Yeah. I see some difficult times coming. In fact, thinking about the minimum wage thing of $15 an hour for a hamburger flipper. Yeah. And that's not to disparage somebody working at McDonald's or Whataburger or anywhere else. If that's the job you have, that's the job you have. But when you think about what's going to happen economically to many businesses when they are forced, and as they were with Obamacare and are with Obamacare and with many of the regulations, in fact, Mr. Obama said before he was elected the first time that basically he was declaring war on the coal industry, and if you wanted to open a coal plant, go ahead, but they would bankrupt you. Mm-hmm. Well, how is that benefiting America? I'm all for alternative energy, but you can't. The cost of it is prohibitive, and when we do the scientific research, it's not provable. In fact, it's disproven that we're destroying our environment with fossil fuels. When I think about here in Texas, the oil industry, how it's being hit very hard by the price drop and everything. And that doesn't just touch the oil industry. So what I see happening is either later this year or next year, I think we're going to have an economic downturn that's going to be catastrophic. I believe that the position we are now, the cultural war that's going on, and people don't even realize it's a cultural war, but the fanning of the flames of ethnic and racial tension can only have one motive. I don't believe there's a motive for it other than trying to start a war in order to take over this country. Mm-hmm. George Ramos had an interview with Ann Coulter, and he admitted that he didn't want any restriction on how many legal or illegals could come in from Mexico into the United States. So they want no border. There's no national sovereignty. We are regulating all of the industry to the point that it's a stranglehold on it. The EPA is destroying our ability to function. We're being attacked on our First Amendment rights. Our Second Amendment's rights are under assault. Our religious freedom is under assault. We're in a time, persecution has begun in America. It just hasn't become physical yet.
Right.
But it's going to.
It's
begun. It's already begun. So where I see us in the world is in an incredibly bad place if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's true.
And there's the whole key. If we are anchored in Him, that doesn't mean we might not be, our lives might not be snuffed out in the process. But if they kill me, what have they done? They only sent me home early. And they're not sending me home early if God doesn't allow it anyway, so I'm not worried about that. But it's time, and I so appreciate what you do. If we do not return to prayer, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. We're in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I fully believe that God is allowing His people to be brought to a place that we're going to have to be people of faith again.
Yes.
I believe that's where we are in America. And the sad reality is that people do not research for themselves. They do not pray for themselves. They're willing to hear what somebody else says and just accept that. Mm-hmm. And without any facts, without any documentation, without any vetting, politicians are immune, seem to be immune to the law. They're exempt from having to follow the law and the Constitution. And yet if you and I were to do that, we would certainly be shut down, if not put in jail. So America's right. in a bad place, but America's in a good place, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I do believe that that all of these things that are happening are a wake-up call to the church. And I'm persuaded there's going to come a day that reading out of the Reader's Digest on Sunday morning or giving a motivational speech will no longer do. And because we just come to that place. And, yesterday, Rodney Howard Brown was talking about Jade Helm. I'm not sure how much research you've done on Jade Helm that's going on, but he was talking about Sharia law that is being set in place in many cities already in America.
Yes. Well, when you have a religion, and they can call it a religion of peace, I understand that some people that follow Islam want to meld into the society because they like the benefits, they like what they have. They're not fully fundamental, and they're not following their religion. But if you take their book, their Quran is specifically clear. It's very clear. They are not a religion of peace. They are a religion that wants to suppress everything else. And it's not just religious. It's everything. That's their politics. That's their everything. It covers every gamut, every facet of life. And if we allow Sharia law to come in to America and allow it to operate in our courts, and it already is, as you said, in some cases, and there's move to make it even more pronounced that when you have a Muslim, then you have to judge them by Sharia law. Well, we're going to evolve from that into a place to where if you and I have any dealings with a Muslim, then we're going to be judged by Sharia law rather than our constitutional law. And that's a very dangerous place. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous place to when our founding fathers wanted freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And the more I read, the more I research, the more I examine what they wrote, what they did, and everything they designed, they wanted the influence of God in our government. And in fact, many of them expressed that you can't have good government without moral people, without people having a relationship with God. And it's time, it's past time, but you're right, it is a wake-up call. I believe that we are in, that God is sounding the alarm, and he has watchmen on the wall that are sounding the alarm, and some people are calling us alarmist and conspiracy theorist and everything else, and that's okay. That doesn't deter me, because I know what I see and what I hear, and what I see and what I hear is what I'm going to say. I have to say it. It's a fire shut up in my bones.
Yeah.
And to see American freedom so disintegrated and so it's stripped from us one little bit at a time. You know, I don't remember who said it, and several people have said it in history, but in one generation, just one generation, we can literally lose our liberty and freedom.
Yeah.
And one writer said that what people lose in liberty in one generation, they won't even realize it maybe for 100 years that it's been gone. But the Fabian socialists and others have been working for over 100 years to destroy the American system and freedom.
Yeah.
And they're not deterred at all by small victories or even defeats. They do it one little piece at a time. It's like water dripping on a rock. Over time, it'll wear that rock away.
Yeah.
And sadly, those of us that are people of faith, I had a person tell me recently that, well, I don't want to hear any more about anything political because whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's a pretty fatalistic approach.
That's right.
To not be informed, because if I am informed, then I can better, I'm better armed to pray, and it may be, there may be something I can do. God may be speaking to my heart through current events to tell me what steps I need to take and what action I need to take to, in order to not only protect myself, but to protect others around me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't imagine seeing a child in danger or anyone in danger, and I had the ability to warn them of that danger and just sitting there and saying, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That would be, well, that would be more than just sad. That would be incredibly bad on, in my view.
That is unthinkable. Unthinkable.
It is to me.
But how did we get here, Roy? How did we get to the place we're at now?
You know, I've been thinking about that very thing, and just the other day, as I was reading and praying and studying, the greatest generation, the World War II, our parents that were are called the greatest generation, those that came out of World War II, there were such incredible sacrifices, but our whole society, for the most part, was rooted very strongly in a religious conviction or a relationship with God. They recognized God's sovereignty. They recognized the importance of a relationship with God. There was integrity. There was a work ethic. There was accountability. There was responsibility. And there was incredible sacrifice. And so many of those, when they came home and began families or continued families, have made statements, and I've heard people say it all of my life, well, I want my kids to have what I never had. Well, that's okay, but how about making sure you give your kids what you do have?
Yeah, that's true.
Give your kids what you do have. And sadly, too many gave their kids things without accountability, responsibility, without having to earn them, without having to work for them, without having, not appreciating them.
Right.
There was freedom without responsibility, which is bondage. And we didn't teach. They were, many of us were taught. You were, I was. Many were taught the very work ethic and the principles and the relationships and integrity. But I know a lot of people that were not.
Yeah.
And they grew up, and that we had that generation, my generation, that would chant Ho 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 Chi Minh and give praise to a despotic dictator in Vietnam in their opposition to the Vietnam War. It doesn't matter whether somebody's for the war or against the war at this point in time. We had young men, and I was one of them that went over there, and 58,000 of them didn't come home. And I'm convinced that how we got here was we developed a wrong mindset, and that mindset, we drifted from that which made us strong from the very beginning of this country all the way through World War II. We drifted from that which made us strong to becoming a permissive society, and as we permit a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and let our guard down, rather than maintaining our integrity, maintaining our relationship with God, maintaining our appreciation and gratitude, then we have become deceived, and we've been blinded by what in our hearts said, well, this is good. We want our children to be better. I do want my children to be better. I want my grandchildren to do better and be better. But I also want them to have that which I was given and my parents were given and their parents were given, that which has made us strong.
Yeah.
And so that's how I think we got there.
Yeah. Well, here we are now, and I believe that we, the church, are the last line of defense in this nation. And I believe there's still hope. That's why I'm praying. That's why I'm leading this 24-hour internet prayer, because I believe that there is still hope, but the church must watch and pray. You know, Jesus did not just talk about prayer. He talked about watching and praying. And we need to be alert. The sons of Issachar, they understood the times that they were in. And so many Christians today are misunderstanding the times and what is happening and the rules and regulations that are being passed down that are taking the freedoms from us even as we speak at this very moment.
Right.
And suddenly we're going to realize that we have lost a lot of our freedoms. Even the internet that we're on today, I mean, there's rules
right.
and regulations that our president and his administration are passing down. I don't believe that Congress has yet to read those rules and regulations. So we know there's a stranglehold. Obamacare is going to engulf every area of our
yep.
lives. And then they begin to put the pressure on the church. What we can say, what we cannot say,
right.
begin to monitor the messages that pastors are preaching or what we're talking about here on internet. So we are facing some major difficulties unless we have revival and other spiritual awakening. We have enough Christians in America to combat all of these evil things that are coming against us. If we will awaken and begin to declare and decree from the podium, I mean, that the greatest weapon that we have today is from the pulpit, the podiums in
Absolutely.
Churches every Sunday where pastors can say something. And, you know, every one of these things, issues, major issues that come up in the news media, pastors have an opportunity to address these things. But many of them, I'm not saying most of them, but many of them are not responding accordingly to what God is saying about these. And they're
right.
talking about things that are so disinteresting that many people are becoming unchurched, going somewhere else. So we need, Roy, yep. we need a spiritual awakening in America. And we need,
yes,
we need pastors and leaders to say something. Say something.
Absolutely. I had a minister tell me just recently, he said, I'd like to have you come preach in my church, but I'm afraid you'll be political. You won't be politically correct. I said, well, you don't want to have me because I won't be politically correct.
Right.
I may not say one thing that could be viewed as political, but it won't be politically correct.
And so, you know, it's amazing when you study the history of our nation that for over 100 years, our students were taught in the church. We had church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday,
Absolutely.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in the same building. In the same building, the students were taught, and the only textbook for over 100 years was the Bible. That's the only textbook they had. Then they finally added McGuffey's Reader. So this is how it all began.
Right. Well, I mean, even people like Madison and Jefferson and Franklin and those men believed that the Bible should be taught in school. I mean, some of the signers of our Declaration of Independence were ministers of the gospel.
That's right.
And they didn't stand in their pulpits and say, well, I can't talk about anything political because, after all, we have separation of church and state. Their whole premise there was to keep a state-run religion and a state-sanctioned religion or a
right.
state-identified religion,
right.
not to keep anything godly out of the conversation. In fact,
right.
Franklin, they were about to lose the whole thing, and he stood up and told them, gentlemen, we have to start our day with prayer as a group
yeah.
when we come together.
Yeah.
And thankfully, they did that kind of thing. And yes, we have to. It's time for preachers. Forget the IRS. Forget all of the other things. They want to make it where if what you and I are saying today, or if we said anything even beyond this, would probably be classified as hate speech, and we
yeah.
could be charged with a federal crime.
Yeah.
And all we're doing is crying out. What I want to do is I want to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to warn people of the dangers of an oppressive government that will restrict our ability to worship God and to serve God,
yeah,
and to live as a free people,
yeah,
to have the entrepreneurial spirit, the inventiveness, the creativity that has made this nation powerful. And yet here we are, even some of our military leaders say today that we're incapable of battling more than one front, and they're not even sure we're capable of handling a war on one front.
Yeah.
We've got people like ISIS and other groups throughout the world that are just growing in strength and power. And I said back in the 70s, the early 70s, I stood before a congregation and I told them, someone asked me a question about the fulfillment of the book of Revelation. And I stood then, and I've never forgotten it because I felt it was burned in my spirit from the Lord. And I said, folks, I believe the book of Revelation will be fulfilled. I do not see that happening as long as the United States of America is a superpower, as long as the Soviet Union is intact as a superpower. I do believe that China will become much stronger and more influential in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be an all-out assault on Christianity, and false religions are going to rise to power.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we are. I mean, that didn't take a lot of insight, I don't necessarily think, but that was 40-something years ago that I saw that.
Yeah.
I see it now.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. I wept when Richard Nixon signed treaty to pull us out of Vietnam over his words, not necessarily us leaving Vietnam, but his words that he said, we now have peace with honor. And I wept, Dale, because
right.
I told my mother, I said, how can it be honor when there's going to be a bloodbath in South Vietnam now, and it's as though those 50-something thousand lives meant nothing.
Uh-huh.
And when I look at Iraq now,
uh-huh,
and some of the things that are going on there in Afghanistan, I'm saying it's almost like these thousands didn't uh-huh mean anything. The
all,
lives that
all those away. All those lives that were lost and limbs that were lost. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it's very sad.
I said it just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And we make everything political from the standpoint of being advantageous to a political party or a mm-hmm activist group or something, rather mm-hmm than what is good for America, what's good for the world, what's
yeah
good,
yeah,
you know, what's the best. I don't
right
want just good, I want the best. I want the abundant life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I believe that we are in a place now where the church must awaken, and you know, I heard one pastor say, well, you know, I don't want to be negative. We don't want the whole cry is we don't want to be negative. We don't want to scare
absolutely
people. But
right,
if there is danger, you know, we've had some tornadoes in the Austin area lately. And I'm telling you,
yeah,
those alarms go off and
do.
You can hear them. And it is a warning to take cover because there is danger. And we, Roy, you and I, we must warn the people of the dangers that are approaching our nation, and we need to take cover. We need to pray and seek the face of God. We're the last line of defense. And, you know,
I just
appreciate you because every day you are writing things that may be very controversial, but, you know, Jesus, he was quite controversial. But I love the way you write. I love what you write. And I want you to tell the people how they can read your blogs. Then I'm going to have you pray before we go.
Okay. Well, I'm on Facebook. Of course, it's facebook.com, Roy Beard. And then I have two blogs. One that, for the most part, I write about current events and political things, and that's roybeard.wordpress.com. And the other is strictly a devotional. It's royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. And those are there. Everything I do is open to the public and people can comment and use them. I had somebody ask me here a while back, said, do you mind if I share what you've written? I said, anything I write was for the purpose of getting out before people, and if you will share it, I would be thrilled. So you don't have to get my permission to do it. You have my permission to do
it. That's great. Well, most people can, they can find you just by Googling Roy Beard, B-E-A-I-R-D, B-E-A-I-R-D. Your writings are terrific. They are terrific. And I read a lot of conservative and Christian articles, and you are right there at the top. So thank you. Thank you for sharing today what's going on. And I believe that people will read your blogs. They're going to be blessed, and they're going to be informed, because we must watch and pray. Why don't you say a prayer for our nation, for our country, however the Holy Spirit leads you, Roy?
Okay. Father, we come before you today, and our hearts are heavy, and yet at the same time, we have a sense of excitement within our spirit. Because as Dale said, I do believe there's hope. We believe there's hope. We know there's hope in you. Our nation's in trouble. Our leaders need to be touched by your hand, and there needs to be roadblocks put in their way on some things they're trying to do, and there needs to be open doors in others that will lead them down the path. And I ask that you, Lord, would just engineer situations and bring events and bring people and bring circumstances before those in positions of leadership that would funnel them into the right direction. And I ask that you stir the hearts of people in America and throughout the world, that we have a renewed heart for you, that we have a renewed desire to come into your presence and have you be Lord of all. And Lord, give us courage, give us boldness, that we may speak the truth in love and speak it with the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit. Speak it prophetically, speak it apostolically, speak it just as a loving member of society and the body of Christ, and that we can touch hearts and touch lives and see things changed here in America and throughout the world. And Lord, help us to recognize the hour that we're living in, to understand our time, and to realize that there is a river of darkness flowing, and there's a river of life flowing at the same time. And help us to get into the stream of life and be examples of life and power and spirit and love for the world. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I set myself in agreement with those prayers, Roy. Thanks for being on the broadcast today, and I want you to come back from time to time and keep sharing the word. And I want to encourage everybody to go to Roy Beard, B-E-A-I-R-D. If you'll Google that, you're going to get his blogs and his insights. God bless you. Roy Beard from Keller, Texas. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Dale.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.